So this next topic is close to my heart because it drives me completely spare, Priya, which is the fact that, and it's not me being ideologically sound, is just how male-focused the medical system still is. Oh,
yes. Medical misogyny. We're talking about it more, though. It does feel that it is at least being widely discussed. And that term, some people can get their hackles up with that term, but it's really referring to the fact that in the healthcare system, women can often be dismissed when it comes to issues like pain, heavy vaginal bleeding. They can have negative health experiences, poorer outcomes, and this is well documented.
Chest pain is a classic example.
Chest pain is, and you know, heart disease and acute ischemic heart disease presents very differently in women, but a lot of clinicians aren't aware of that. It doesn't necessarily present like a heart attack in a male would. Medical research, I mean, this could be a spin-off show because there's a lot of things that suggest that the health system is really geared towards men, but research typically happens in men.
And well, not just men. We've had stories on the Health Report where the animals used in research tend to be more male than female.
Oh my goodness. So it starts back at the animal models. But, you know, there's cases of things like frozen shoulder, which typically tends to impact women more. You know, there's less research done on a topic like that. Hip replacements, there have been issues with them being developed and modelled in men, not even appreciating at the time that women are not just smaller men, but are anatomically different in terms of the wideness of the hips and all sorts of other features. And then women have poorer outcomes with hip replacements. It's even worse for minority groups. So for women from ethnic minorities, First Nations women, women from other backgrounds, it's even more difficult. So the healthcare system is, I feel like we're in a time of reckoning where people are finally listening. We're talking about the fact that women are waiting way too long for a diagnosis of endometriosis. 6 to 8 years is completely unacceptable to be living with heavy vaginal bleeding and pelvic pain. And I feel like perhaps now action is being taken. And that is reflected in the fact that there's been a Victorian inquiry into women's pain. The report has 27 recommendations in it, and there are things now being done, like women being offered additional pain relief if they're having an intrauterine device inserted. To talk about all of this, I spoke to Dr. Felicity Dent, who's a GP and board member for Pelvic Pain Victoria.
So the Victorian Women's Pain Inquiry was set up as a response to the systemic overlooking of women's pain. And it actually came up with 27 recommendations, which is fantastic, which included the need for more research into women's health, more policy surrounding the area, more training and professional development, cultural change, different models of care, building the workforce, and more affordable and accessible care.
For women broadly.
For women broadly, yeah. That's right, yeah.
So off the back of that, Premier of Victoria, Jacinta Allen, said, we're going to give women in 20 hubs in Victoria a Penthrox whistle, which people might know as the green whistle, for when they have an intrauterine device inserted. So something like a Mirena, people might know it as. Mm-hmm. That's just one thing that came out of the inquiry. Why is that such a significant announcement that was made?
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of representative of the broader problem. So from the point of view of IUD insertion, originally there was a very paternalistic kind of attitude towards putting in IUDs in women. So it was kind of like, the pain is unavoidable, you just need to tolerate it, it's going to be quick, here we go. And it really wasn't right up until the 2000s that it was recognised that women had different experiences in pain when they were having an IUD put in. And not until 2010, really, that we got some evidence for what worked from the point of view of pain relief. And now in the 2020s, we're kind of more in the age where women now have more choice, more empowerment with information, and they've got, I guess, a toolkit or a menu that they can choose from for pain relief when they have an IUD, which can be individualised to them. The green whistle or Penthrox is just one of those. And what the government has done recently is fund those in these women's health hubs, which are either free or low cost to women. And there's 20 of them around Victoria, metropolitan and rural. Yeah.
What if you're a woman who's listening and that hub is not near you and that's not an option?
Yes.
And as you said, historically, and I've certainly had patients as well, have this procedure done, have a really significant negative experience because they've been told it's just putting an intrauterine device in through the cervix into the uterus, which can be quite painful.
Yeah.
What other things can be done to make this a more comfortable procedure for the person?
Okay, yeah. Well, I guess stepping back a bit, there are different settings that people can have IUDs put in. Some people get their IUDs put in primary care, in general practice, but unfortunately that's probably less than 50%. And then there are other kind of sexual and reproductive health specialist settings, which is more like these women's health hubs. There are specialist gynecologists. Sometimes people even have them put in as inpatients. But from the point of view of choice, I think it's probably worth starting this conversation chatting just about the nature of pain in general. Pain is a very complex beast, and it's a response made by the brain to a perceived threat. And so if a woman perceives something as very threatening, her brain will produce more pain. So one of the key things is that we need to make women feel really empowered with information and resources, really comfortable, make sure they understand what's happening, and sort of take an individualised and trauma-informed approach to their care.
I guess the insertion of the IUD is just the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? This inquiry has looked into so much more than that, mm-hmm. and really put the spotlight on the fact that for women, they can be dismissed when it comes to issues like heavy vaginal bleeding, mm-hmm. pelvic pain, all sorts of mm-hmm. things. This is perhaps the reckoning.
Absolutely. We know that 40% of women in Victoria suffer from persistent pain of some sort.
So are we seeing, I mean, the green whistle is one thing, mm-hmm. are we seeing other positive change?
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. So the government's injected $154 million into this space. And as you said, these women's health hubs are part of it. But there'll be multiple other areas, like we talked about before, that will have funding injected into them. Hopefully that will translate to a better outcome for women and less impact on people's lives.
I know, Felicity, that there are 27 recommendations mm-hmm. from this, but are there any that particularly stand out to you?
Well, I mean, from the point of view of working in primary care and being a GP, look, they're all very important. But from my perspective, I guess, when we work in medicine, what we hope to do as much as possible is to work in an evidence-based way. And we know that historically, a lot of the evidence that we have and a lot of the research that's done is based on men. Mm-hmm. And so that research space, getting more research into this space and getting, you know, real findings that we can use is really important. And also, I think, again, from the general practice perspective, to make things accessible, it's great if you can do them in primary care. And one of the issues that we know about with general practice is that probably only 37% of GPs are trained to put in IUDs. And of those, only about 12% actually do the procedure. And that is due to multiple factors. So a lack of ability to access training. The system that we work in is not very kind from the point of view of taking time in particular. And I think those things in particular probably make it hard to give women good access to IUDs. So, yeah, that training and support, I guess, is a really important aspect from my perspective.
And I guess we're living in a time also where you talked about empowering women and choice and having options. And you said menu before, which is a term that I love to use.
Yes.
Do you think women know all the options that are available to them? Does it depend on which consulting room door they walk into or what information they cross?
100% it does. Yeah, of course it does. So it depends, obviously, on the setting that they're in, and it depends on the health professional that they're interacting with. But I think just the recognition that there should be choice is really, really important. Since the 2010s, we've had quite a bit of evidence about what actually works for pain relief during IUD insertion. But what we don't know, and what we still don't know, is what pain relief works for any particular woman. And so that's why choice and individualisation is really important.
That was Dr. Felicity Dent, who's a GP and board member for Pelvic Pain Victoria.
So do you think this is going to make any difference?
I think this is a step in the right direction. Certainly it feels like the time for listening is over. To see practical changes being implemented like this, I think, is hope. We've still got a long way to go, but this is a positive beacon.
So if a woman's having an IUD in other states other than Victoria, what should you be asking your doctor?
Well, I think Felicity alluded to it. I think you need to find a practitioner who actually gives you the platter of options when it comes to insertion and pain relief. And pain is a really complex thing. And we've spoken about it a lot this year, but having someone who you trust, who empowers you to make decisions, in itself can really change the whole experience. So it's really complex stuff, but you should be speaking to people who give you the information and empower you and give you choices.
You're with the Health Report on ABC Radio National.